Hi there, this is Kate McClanahan, and this is the Sound Advice Podcast. Welcome back to our podcast, and we have, as our special guest today, we have one of our clients, Lisa. And now, what's cool about what happened was you sent me an email, and you had asked me about, you're on this mission of going after the agents, and you're following the process that we laid out for you and everything else. And last week, you sent me an email and said, and I was confused by this email, and I thought, wait a minute, isn't that in all the materials? And it had to do with exclusivity. Exclusivity, if you're signed to a talent agent, you're exclusive with them, right? And I thought, wait a minute, didn't I write that in the materials? And I'm thinking, God, did I not write it enough? And you've been in the industry for a very long time. You're an established talent. So these are holes in the education. This is why it's so imperative that when we deal with talent, we're dealing with them one-on-one. It's got to be tailor-made to you and what your understanding of the industry is. And what was the question, Lise? It was about an agent had asked you if you were looking for exclusivity, correct?
Right. I was on my third round of the 8-week process. So here I am, you know.
Yeah.
Minus the Christmas and New Year's, I've been doing this for, you know, 24, 26 weeks and kind of getting discouraged. And then finally, out of the blue, I get this email from one of the agents that I had been pursuing. And she said she had seen my materials earlier, a postcard or something like that, but didn't have room on her roster. But now she does. And she was interested in representing me as long as I didn't want exclusivity. And so I was like, why would she want to be exclusive to me? How can she make money that way? She's got to have a lot of talent to represent. So that's what threw me.
Right. And honest mistake. Yeah. Go ahead.
Because I remember in the materials mm-hmm. that you had said, you know, if you're represented by an agent in one state and you're exclusive to them, then you can only have one agent in that state, you know?
Right.
So that's what threw me. I'm like, why would she want to be exclusive to me? So that's why I reached out.
And that's what I didn't understand in the email, too. I was like going, wait a minute, didn't I write about this? I could have sworn I wrote about this. And I'm thinking, oh, no, why? And so you're going like, McClanahan, what's going on with you? So, no, but this process it does take some time to do it, right? And the whole idea of signing with a talent agent, it sounds, or becoming exclusive with an agent, it sounds like you've joined a club. It sounds very flowery and like, oh, you know, and this kind of stuff. And of course, there is no talent agent that I'm the only talent agent. I have one client and it's you. And it's, they just don't do, you know, I mean, I always think of, it sounds so stupid, but I always think of, and this is how old I am, the Beverly Hillbillies. Remember the Beverly Hillbillies?
Yes.
And I always think, wow, I've only got one client and that's you, you know, and you're going places.
Right.
And I always thought of, you know, that sort of my mentality of what being represented by someone, you know, why he's going places, you know, see, and that's how it goes, you know, and it has nothing to do with that. It really has everything to do with if you are exclusive with an agency, they do have a roster of talent that, you know, again, yeah, the talent agent is, they're licensed by the state. That said, a lot of talent agents will say, well, we only want you with maybe two other talent agents across the country. We don't want you to have more than three. Now, as Jeff always says, and I love this, all parameters are merely suggestions, you know, and that's about it. And it's cool for them to say that because I think they understand talent very well by saying that a lot of talent cannot manage much more than three, maybe four talent agents across the country at one given time. But being exclusive means you're with that agent only in that state. And generally speaking, you know, and this is for voiceover. For on camera, it's a little bit different, but and again, it goes by agency. You know, it's really, it depends on the agency. You want to be with talent agents who have the type of work that you're best suited to get, not just because they're a talent agent and they happen to do voiceover. You know, the idea of having, I mean, someone like Lisa, who is seasoned and been in the field as a voiceover talent, as a professional for as long as you have, and for years, you know, as I like to say, you know, it's like, but it's longer than 10. You know what I mean? Yeah. Let's just put it that way. And, you know, the truth is that I don't like, I think there is a real ageism in voiceover. So, you know, I don't like, I try to avoid that when I'm talking to talent agents or producers directly, you know, for on a specific project. But you have to come clean with your agents to some extent to let them know how old you are and that kind of stuff, or at least how old you book. If they ask you how old you are, I'm a big fan of saying, well, how old do I sound? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Not to be elusive, but my God, you know, does it really matter? Unless they meet with you face to face, it really shouldn't matter if, as long as you have the sensibilities and you have the frame of reference and what have you of what where they're going, you know, and talent agents, just like many producers, tend to be younger and younger and younger as we get a little more long in the tooth, you know, so to speak, too, you know. But most of them are between the ages of 25 and 35, a lot of them, maybe 40, you know, and that kind of stuff. And it doesn't mean all of them are. The more seasoned talent agents, you know, who are out there, you know, they've, you know, they might have been doing this for 25, 30 years, but you know, they want to know they have a certain group of talent that scratches the itch for the producers who contact them. So when a talent agent always says, you know, well, we already have your type in our talent pool. Great. Good to know. Just like this particular agent, Lise, contacting you saying she didn't have the need for you 4 months ago, but now she does, you know, which is fantastic, actually. She just wanted to make sure she wasn't letting you down by saying, if you're looking only for exclusivity, I don't want to do that. Most talent agents don't sign you to anything anymore. You know, I mean, it's very rare. It's just an agreement. It's kind of a gentleman's agreement kind of thing. It's like, yeah, we got it. You're repping me and I'm repping you. You know, I mean, it's really kind of a mutual thing because you do represent that talent agent to a great extent. And they know that because you represent the type of work that they do best. So if you're at your best, great. That's what they want. You know, the talent agents want to know that you have you're putting that out there, but also that you're consistently going after seeking the work. You have to go at this. Are you finding this easier as you go, or is it harder as you go pursuing submitting to the talent agents and what have you?
No, I don't think it's easier.
It's harder as you go. Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm trying to. I have an Excel spreadsheet, and it's like I can't figure out a way to make it clearer where I can look at it and say, oh, okay, it's, you know, week one for this one, week two for that one. And because some of them were started at different times.
Sure.
And so I find myself just making a list.
Good.
And because then all of a sudden, you know, to send the postcards and the note cards out, I'm finding that I need to do that on a Saturday so that they get it on a Tuesday or a Wednesday.
Excellent.
And that's
an important distinction, by the way, because I know it sounds absolutely nuts, but I mean, there's so much data on the fact that if anyone that you're promoting yourself to, if they receive it on a Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday, they're more likely to contact you than any other day of the week. But it's Tuesday is like the golden day, and it has been for more than 60 years. That's saying something when it's got stats like that. But I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead. So you have to, if you are sending a snail mail out to them, something physical, something tangible, which they cannot opt out of. So if all of your promotions are only by email, you know, you got to do a little bit. That's, I like this idea. And again, it's in our materials, but I don't want to give the whole candy store away, but the truth is that, you know, what we recommend, do what you can and that kind of stuff, and logging what you're, you know, who you sent what to when, you know, it will go scattershot. And I think, I don't do Excel personally, but I mean, if you're expert at it, great. You're pretty good at it though, right, Lise?
No, I'm not.
Oh.
But that was one of the suggestions in the material. So I thought, but I have a backup. I also have them in my contacts.
Yeah.
So I can also go into my contact and I can look in the notes section.
There you go.
And it'll say exactly what I sent, the date, and, you know, what week it was and what round I'm on. So it's like, it's added work, I think. And
To do Excel?
But I thought that if I had the spreadsheet, it would be easier to see it. But really, it's not. I mean, I think you'd...
Good to know.
For me, I think I'd have to print it every time to compare.
Yeah, I just keep notes personally, too. I mean, I don't really do Excel at all. I mean, people do. And if it's something that you're familiar with, Jeff, do you have anything on that? You use Excel.
Yeah, I mean, if you're familiar with it, it can help you manage your data in a much easier way. But there's a learning curve. And if you're not using it, you're going to have to burn through that learning curve. And that might add to the frustration of everything.
Let's talk about that, because the truth is that here's the thing, you know, you're really only in the first 6 months of going after agents. And what we've done is we've kind of narrowed the field as to the talent agents you're going after for the people that I think you're best suited to get. And you're going to date before you marry. You're going to have some agents that you get with, and you might only have them for 6 to 8 months. But if you have not seen an audition from that talent agent in 8 months, you don't have that agent anymore, you know? And there's so many people out there go, oh, well, I have 7 agents. Really? How many auditions are you doing a week? None. Well, then you really probably don't have any agents. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's not a one-way street where they're all supposed to come to you either. And I get the frustration and all that kind of stuff. But the truth is that focusing your efforts on, you've got really killer materials. You've got you're a wonderful talent, and you keep all that stuff sharp. And even though this is the busy work of trying to get the kind of opportunities that you're best suited to do and that will elevate your entire career, that's really the whole objective. And for somebody like yourself, Lisa, and this is not true for everybody, but it's definitely true for you, having 4 or 5 talent agents, possibly 6, one in New York, one in LA, one in Chicago, one in Texas, one in Denver, you know. It's not what you want to hear, but the truth is that there's easily an 18 to 24 month a curve to this, you know, and a commitment to this while you're going after the work, and obviously you're doing pay to play and, you know, that sort of thing. There's 3 pay to plays that have just surfaced recently. And we don't know anything about, like, how good they are, how bad they are, blah, 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 except that we do like, you know, some of the things that they're doing. Voiceovers.com, that's plural.
Yes. And I just joined. Joined them because I watched all the webinars with the founder, and I liked what he was saying. And he was saying, we're going to stop all this. We're going to stop these ridiculous rates.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're going to change the algorithms so that it works better for both the buyer and the talent, you know, rather than these ridiculous things that they had. So you were able to get in on the ground level for a pretty decent rate of just $199.
There's also one called voiceforce.com, and that looks very promising. I love their branding. I hope they're as good as they say. So voiceforce.com looks pretty good. But here's the thing, going after the agents is kind of key. And what I was talking to both Jeff and another colleague of ours, Graham Spicer, up in Toronto yesterday, and we were talking about, was it yesterday or the day before? But they had, you know, I was asking the guys, you know, guys get more work than women do. I mean, let's face facts, you know, I mean, they just do. And I was asking, do you see the same, you know, like a year ago, 2 years ago, I'd say probably, and I'm throwing a dart, and Jeff, you tell me if I'm correct or not, I'd say like 4 to 8 spots a month might be double, you know, like you'll get it from the same, you'll mirror it from this agency and that location as well. So they might get a crossover of getting the same audition from two or three different sources. And you're not seeing that as much. That's kind of been reduced by a dramatic margin. But I also know that even the talent agents have fled like the plague, that have left voices.com. So, at least 6 of the top guys, I think they let their whole subscription just run out is what they did. And they said, we don't want that on our stuff at all. But there's one agency that I think is terrific, and they're primarily online. And it's an agency that I think you would do really well with. And they don't want you, they have it on their website, they don't want you with, here's the thing, they don't want you with Fiverr. They don't want you with Craigslist. And they don't want you with Voices.com. you know, and they say that very directly on their site. If you're with those three things, they say pay to play, but they just mean just the lowest of the common denominators, you know. Graham was telling us he felt that Voices.com in the last 3 to 4 months has improved.
Yes.
They have so much. How have they improved? These guys have not made amends for some of the most heinous things I've ever seen in this industry. I've never seen such
Lisa, do you
fraud.
Have experience with Voices.com in the last few months?
Yes, I do. And the reason why I say they've improved is just because of the auditions that are coming through.
Got it.
The rates are better. And, you know, and I think that should be up to the talent to decide.
Of course.
I mean,
yeah.
Whether you want to audition for that or not. And, you know, and I should be trusted to make that, you know, distinction of I'm not going to, you know, I don't want to bring the industry down by auditioning for these ridiculous rates, but I think
right.
I should also be trusted and
well,
you know,
you
not-
can be. You're a seasoned pro, but I mean, when you have like such an influx of, there's a lot of very dynamic
yeah.
newbies coming into the, because they know tech, but they don't know this industry and they don't
right.
know what their value is either. You know what I mean? So that's a toughie. And so, yeah, you can be trusted for with that. Here's the other issue I have with pay to play, and I'm just going to go there. I never liked this. As an actor, as a voiceover and a union talent, I never get feedback unless it's like, hey, this was really great, or did this happen at the session, or blah, blah, blah. That was kind of a weird thing. Yes, it was very strange, you know, and I'm talking to my agent about it, you know, but it's usually, again, it's a 10 to 12 second long conversation. It's not, we're not having like lunch and, you know, oh, good, they're taking me, you know what I mean? It's half a sip of cup of coffee and, you know, it's just cut to the chase. What's going on? You know, that's how they operate. But they're not going to give me feedback on how was that audition or how
yeah.
was that job? You know,
well,
talk about keeping your own counsel,
anymore.
You know. Voice 123 doesn't do that anymore. Thank God.
I yeah,
thought they
so that's
it was so childish. I can't even get over it. It's like, no one's going to tell you. What the hell? You don't know what you're doing? You know,
right.
you don't know what you're bringing to the table? I just found it to be so oddball. And but I, again, I came up a different way. You know, I came up the actor's side of things, you know what I mean? Rather than the, you know, I can understand where people want feedback, but that's a class. That's not, you know, you don't do that. That's coaching, you know what I mean? You don't
right.
get that from, you don't get that from a professional is going to tell you unless you've really screwed the pooch or you've done something extraordinary, you know? And so everything in between be damned, you know, is kind of like how it goes. But back to the rates and stuff. So you're on Voices then.
Yes, I am. And I've always said, you know, when my subscription runs out, I'm out of there. And then there'll be a decent job on there, and I'll audition, and then I get it. And then it's turned into, you know...
A regular gig, yeah?
Exactly. So
yeah.
I'm like, oh, gosh. I mean...
So you're finding value on it, yeah.
Right. So it's difficult. I mean,
yeah.
I hate what they've done, too, and I hate how they do this double-dipping thing where, you know, not only are you paying, but then... They call it an, you know, an escrow fee and, you know, or a management fee. Yeah. And so, you know, a lot of times there'll be a job on there and, you know, maybe the rate should be $500, but because you have to include their fee, you're really only getting, which is 20%, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
It used to only be 10%. Then it's like, well, why do I have to pay that? That's coming out of my pocket now.
Right, right.
And now I'm auditioning for something that the rate is actually lower.
Right.
So it's a fine line, you know, and it becomes difficult then. But like Jeff said, I'm still getting value out of it. So I really can't. I've got a lot of recurring clients off of them. So
yeah, well, that's important. You know, I mean,
yeah, it's hard to say
that's
goodbye.
The whole point. Well, it's the whole point of being, that's the whole point and why it's even any value of being on a pay to play, you know, is because there's opportunities there and they lead to bigger and better things.
Mm-hmm.
The important thing is not to devalue yourself, You know, if they're asking you, do they, now tell me this much, do they go, well, what's your rate? Or do they say, here's what the rate is? Which is it? Is it 50-50 or?
No, it's usually on voice 1, 2, 3, the voice actor can quote the rate. A lot of times they'll ask for you to quote the rate, but on voices.com, there's always a budget range there. So, you know, it'll be like 250 to 500 or 500 to 799, whatever it is.
Which is so, weird because, yeah, when they say a range, then they're going to go with the basement. Whatever the lowest is, that's what they're going to go with. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like, well, why would there be a range? It's just how much is it? You know, well, it depends on what you're doing actually, right? So, I mean, you don't want to settle into something that is the lowest possible denominator. I mean, how broad is the range that they give you?
It depends. It depends. But usually it's like, I mean, the lowest one is 100 to 250. And yeah. then it jumps 250 to 500 or 499. And then it keeps jumping by that same increment. Unless it's a national thing. And then I've seen it, sometimes it will say up to this amount. Yeah. So it won't give a range, it'll say up to. And sometimes they will have a specific budget, but I would say 90% of the time, it's a range.
Wow. Crazy. Well, back to exclusivity and what have you, too. I mean, just to be clear, exclusivity, you know, and joining an agent and that kind of thing. Once you get agents that are your best suited to be with and that kind of thing, and it does take some time and due diligence, as you know, it just consider it like, okay, this is part of, it's part of what I got to do. I got to send some stuff out to these agents, blah, 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 drip, drip, drip. It's once a week, either an email or what have you. And I've written all that material and it's in that How to Get an Agent ebook that, you know, I've created so that you have something, some kind of point of reference. But I was really taken aback when it was like, I don't understand what was not understood. And until you and I spoke, I did not get that what you were talking about was you thought they wanted to rep you exclusively and nobody else. And it was like, that was of course, it's a matter of semantics. When you have not had that experience before, does it go in that? And all you were asking was, does it go in that direction too? Do you have people who do that? Are there agents that do that? And it's a very common, I mean, it makes sense to actually ask that question. When I realized what you were asking, it's like, oh, I can see where, if you don't know, you don't know, you know?
Right.
And it's like, oh gosh, yeah, okay, got it. And it's like, no, all exclusivity is that you're with that agency alone for a period of time, and it might be a year, might be 2 years, might be 3 years, might be five. Everybody's different, but it's rare that you even sign anything anymore, especially from, you know, bigger, more lofty talent agents that are out there, Abrams or, you know, CESD or what have you. CESD, I think, does sign you, but I, you know, who knows? Out here in LA, they often say, well, we're going to hip pocket you. In other words, they're going to try you out for a little bit. So they want to see a body of work from you. They want to see your auditions over the course of, like, you know, 3 to 4 months and stuff. And again, if you're not seeing something from that agent and you like that agent and you want to keep them, stir the pot, poke a stick at it. You know, if you haven't seen anything in 3 weeks or 4 weeks, send them an email. Don't wait for them to come to you. You know, if you wait for the sea to come to you, it will, and you'll get buried in it. you'll get a flood, and you're going to be, oh no, what happened there? I don't have anything to stand on. So, yeah, it's kind of important. But I love this conversation about, I want you to get pay to play, because I think for starters, you know, if you're just getting out there, and certainly all those opportunities are there. But it's so much to navigate. I totally get it. And I get the busy work involved in it. But, you know, you're going to get a handful of talent agents that you're going to go, come see, come saw. They're not that great. They're not my favorite. And I want to talk to you after this, if we can, because I want to just kind of look at your list of agents that you're going after specifically. And we'll kind of curtail that a little bit more. So you have agents that are, you're really targeting guys that should have you on board, you know, and that you would do well with. And again, it's a mutual thing. You got to represent them as much as they represent you. You know, they're going to be your advocate when it comes to getting paid, and what are the terms and the usage and all that kind of stuff. How long are they going to use it? you know, the project that you voiced, you know. And Jeff, hop in anytime. What do you got?
The only thing I can think of is, did we really answer the question? An agent asked her a question, do you want exclusivity? What was the right way to answer it?
Well, I said no, because, yeah. I mean, that's, I asked Kate, you know, because I was like, what, you know, I didn't understand why she would want to be exclusive to me, you know.
Right. And it was the opposite. And it's just semantics how she asked. Yeah. You know,
right.
But you answered correctly, which is, no, you don't need to be exclusive with them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's fine. You know? And it's like, no, we weren't. She's trying to manage your expectations, the agent, you know. She was trying to make sure that you're not expecting something that you're not going to get, you know.
Uh-huh.
And that's why she's going, are you looking for exclusivity? Because, you know, ... you know, and just doesn't, I hope you don't want exclusivity, right? You know, or she didn't really say it that way. It's how she posed the question.
And yeah, she just said, if you're not looking for exclusivity, I don't know if those were her exact words, then, you know, we'd like to represent you.
Yeah.
It
good.
Was like that. If that's what you're,
yeah.
As long as you're not looking for that.
And also that's an agent in Chicago, mind you.
Yes.
Chicago is kind of known, and Jeff, it's, you know, it's been changing over it goes back and forth, it ebb and flows over the years. You can be multi-listed in Chicago. In other words, you can be with a variety of talent agents, you know, if you live in Chicago and that sort of thing, but they don't care as long as you don't audition multiple times for the same project for, you know, but under different talent agents, right? If you've already auditioned for a job, then that's it. You can't audition elsewhere. You know, you're double dipping. In other words, the producer might turn to you and go, okay, do you not know your job? I mean, I don't get this. Or do you want to split your commission with these two different talent agents? You know, how do you plan on doing this,
right,
you know, goofball, you know what I mean? And that's kind of thing, because it's just not done. It complicates things instead of, you're there to make things simpler and easier, make it easy for them to hire you, not the other way around, you know?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, but this is really good conversation, but all right. So how are you getting work? You're getting Voice123, voices.com, your former clients.
I'm on a couple of production house voice rosters, so I get that work that way also. And mostly, though, it's repeat business from, I do a lot of automotive. So I've built that up over the years.
Yeah.
And that's my bread and butter. And that's where the bulk of my income comes from.
Excellent. That's great. And it's just a matter of fortifying that, you know. Well, Lise, thanks for joining us. And thanks for, I know it sounds just, there's, you never know what question might stump you. And that's why it's so important to have at least one or two people that you can contact and say, oh my God, I don't get this. Is this crazy? Do they mean this or do they mean that? You know, and someone who's not going to hold it against you when you ask the question. Like, I felt wait a minute, it's in the materials. Is it not there? And I'm thinking, oh no, I got to rewrite all that. But it's a really good question. And I think it's a honest question and that kind of thing too. And I understand you feel discouraged when you haven't gotten the kind of representation you're really going for and you really want to go after it with teeth, you know. Now's a really good time. I mean, now is always a good time to promote yourself. There's never a bad time to promote yourself, including the holidays and stuff like that. But if you're promoting directly to talent agents, obviously, you know, Christmas Day is probably not the best day to do it. New Year's Day, I'd probably skip it. 4th of July, probably not. You know, so there's a couple that you can, before or after, probably directly after. But thank you so much for joining us and for sharing your wisdom and your experience. And keep the faith. You're
okay.
Too strong a talent to not have some great stuff. And it's not what you want to hear with all of the hard work that you've put in thus far, especially in the last 6 months. It feels like, oh, it's falling on deaf ears. It's not. She even said she heard your demo and
right.
She wanted you now 4 months later, you know? So you never know where that might pick up. So persistence is so imperative. So well done and keep going.
All right. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, Lisa.
Thanks, Jeff.
See you later. This is Kate McClanahan, and this has been the Sound Advice Podcast. To find out more about VoiceOver and our process, check out voiceoverinfo.com.